from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
You know, if I'm not mistaken, the last time we spoke with the pride of Victor, Seth Payne from our Odyssey Sports sister station, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. I don't think the Houston Texans were the relevant team that they are going into this season. And now with Stephon Diggs, a name that we're obviously all familiar with, got to check in with Seth, got to check in with the Houston Texans here as we enter kind of the downtime in the NFL. Seth, thanks so much for making time for us this afternoon here in the Flower City. How has Steph Diggs been as a teammate up to this point with his new team there in Houston?
It's been exactly the same way it was in Buffalo. So, for the first part, that's what we're all banking on, is that, hey, the first 2 years are always a honeymoon period with Stephon Diggs. So, you know, as you guys know, it's been negotiated down to just a 1-year deal for Stephon Diggs. So, you know, he said all the right things. I think he was very magnanimous in his press conference when talking about Josh Allen, and very appreciative of Josh Allen. And, you know, as you guys all know up there, sometimes things run their course, and it seems like that's the way it went with Buffalo. So, so far so good. I think the biggest question is just, all right, he's got potentially a much better breadth of wide receiving core with Nico Collins and Tank Dell when they're healthy. But, you know, how's that ball going to be divvied up amongst three really good wide receivers? And is that going to be an issue for Stephon Diggs at any point? Which, like I said, he said all the right things so far.
Yeah, I'm curious, too, like as to why they ripped up the contract and, hey, it's a 1-year deal. And that would be a kind of a big gamble if you only got 1 year for a second-round pick. So what was the reasoning behind that, Seth?
I think for Nick Caserio, the GM, I think it was almost just an acknowledgement of the way business is conducted in the NFL these days, which is if you have a player who doesn't have any guaranteed money on his contract left and he's willing to be a gigantic pain in the butt about it, that that guy is, for all intents and purposes, might as well be a free agent. So I think that was part of what went into it, that they traded for Stephon Diggs, figuring that they'd probably have to give him a new deal at the end of 1 year anyway. And they just went ahead and formalized it as a 1-year deal. So it's an aggressive move when you consider that it's a 1-year deal. I try to make peace with it by figuring, all right, if you did this at the trade deadline, people probably wouldn't bat an eyelash. You know, trade a second round pick for a very good wide receiver, then it's that's standard operating procedure. They just they were a little bit aggressive in a few months early on that.
So Seth, walk us through this transformation of the organization, because like I said, I believe the last time we had you on with us, you know, it might have been like still during the Lovie Smith era. Nick Caserio has been a constant, and we always kind of wondered whether or not he was fit to be the GM of that organization. Did he find some kind of secret success? Did he get it straight, or was it just as simple as you got your quarterback, you got your head coach, and you started to get the right pieces in place, and now you've got an organization and a team that going into this year, I mean, they've got to be considered a contender given all the talent they have on that roster.
Yeah, I think, you know what, and I'll address that in two parts. Don't let me forget the Stephon Diggs part of it. But the first part, when things really started to change, was just simply with the hiring of DeMeco Ryans. You know, the last time I talked to you, I think I was still talking about Jack Easterby. He was the mysterious, shadowy figure that seemed to be operating everything from behind the scenes while Bill O'Brien was there. I mean, it was 2 years where the Texans were the laughing stock of the league, and for very, very good reasons. Like, they were severely dysfunctional. I think when the owners and some of the people in the front office realized just some of the things that were going on, they cleaned house, and, you know, they were able to land DeMeco Ryans. Like, let's be honest, because DeMeco Ryans had played for the Texans. DeMeco Ryans' wife is from Houston. DeMeco just wanted to get back and coach the Texans. He just flat out said, he told them that in their interview, that this is the number one place I want to be. And it was pretty easy for Nick Caserio and Cal McNair, the owner, to make the decision after that. And that just changed everything because, you know, DeMeco is one of the more beloved Texans players in team history. And it's not like he was one of the very best players in team history. He had just always been identified as a guy. I was in my last year in the NFL when he was a rookie, and we were calling him Cap, you know, for captain when he was a rookie, because he just carries himself that way. And, you know, him and Nick Caserio have a very good working relationship. And then obviously you get CJ Stroud. And I think critically for CJ Stroud, they were able to pair him with the offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, who comes from San Francisco, is in that Kyle Shanahan tree, and he's running Kyle Shanahan style offense. It gives a young quarterback a blueprint for how to do things, and it takes away a lot of the uncertainty. So I think they were able to get just the very best out of CJ Stroud. As far as the expectations going into this year, I thought that was, I think one of the better things Stephon Diggs did when he got here was for all of his cryptic tweets and Instagram posts and everything, he just flat out said, don't put the horse in front of the cart. And I think it's important to be able to hear a message from a guy like Stephon Diggs, who is on the team in Buffalo that for very, very good reason is thought of as the one that, okay, if they're knocking on the door, they're going to kick it in this year. You just got to get over that Mahomes hump. And I think he's seen firsthand that, man, it's not so simple. It's not so simple to beat Pat Mahomes or the Buffalo Bills or any of those teams in the league. And I think that's the message that a lot of the veteran players are preaching right now. They're all for positivity and everything, but just never forget how difficult it is.
Seth Payne, Sports Radio 610 in Houston, Rochester native, former lineman with the Jags and Texans as well. Seth, I marvel at all the millions that are spent on NFL scouting, and one team can take Bryce Young, and maybe Bryce Young ends up being somebody, but the fact that number two, C.J. Stroud going to Houston. I guess my question is about Stroud, because we've seen other quarterbacks who you think they're on a trajectory, and then you find out they're not. So what would be the reasons? What are your observations about C.J. Stroud?
I think there are a lot of things or questions that people had about C.J. They were understandable, but in the very fact that he kind of carries himself like with a very serious demeanor, you know, he's always kind of got a look on his face like he's thinking about something deep. I think a lot of you'd hear these quotes from anonymous scouts or others that he might be hard to coach. And it's just been the absolute opposite. And I think that part of it is that he's very serious about his job, not just like Instagram hashtag grind serious about his job. He's very much a football nerd. And you pair him up with Bobby Slowick, who's kind of the same way. You know, he's just very much all about the ball and none of the distractions. And I know, look, CJ's had himself a good offseason, and he showed a lot of his personality on podcasts and everything. But when it comes to the football side of things, there's not a lot of sensitivity. You know, there's not and he's very, very intelligent. Like, he's doing a lot of things mentally that you're hoping your quarterback gets to by his third year in the league. So his ability to identify coverages, to adjust after the snap, you know, to do play action where his back is turned to the defense and then re-diagnose what's going on after he turns back towards the defense. That's where he was really advanced, and you could see it get better as the season went along. And then I think, honestly, like one of the other big things was just simply that they gave him Dalton Schultz, who's not an all-pro tight end, but he's a very savvy veteran who'd worked with a young quarterback in Dak Prescott. And Tank Dell and Nico Collins were just way better than people thought they were. Nico Collins had a lot of injuries. Tank Dell was an unknown, tiny rookie. So that made a big difference for him, too.
Seth, you mentioned Mahomes and the Chiefs and every team that's kind of chasing after them. And I look at the landscape of the AFC, and I struggle to think that anybody can get past them and that they're going to three-peat and all of that. And I don't know, Seth, commiserate with me for a minute. I mean, what's it going to take for the Bills or for the Texans or for any team in the AFC?
The Ravens,
to get over on Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, because it feels as if they are in this dominant position once again.
I think, for one, at some point, and I hesitate to say this because forever, you know, it felt like for 10 years I kept saying that the San Antonio Spurs would get old, and they never got old. But I think that at the very least, Travis Kelce he's going to get old. I mean, he got old this year during the regular season somewhat, but there's no accounting for that playoff experience. And I think some of the things and some of the issues that the Chiefs had during the regular season, at some point you can't just rely on Pat Mahomes being Pat Mahomes if you've got issues at offensive tackle, if your wide receiving core is inexperienced. And really, the thing that on defense, it gets frustrating because Steve Spagnuolo is really, really good at developing his cornerbacks. So you might lose a stud cornerback, but I feel like they've got two other replacements ready to go. So I think they're still going to be good defensively. You just got to figure out a way to affect Pat Mahomes. And it's like the simplest thing in the world, but if you go back to the Giants and their ability to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, they just were flat out able to affect Tom Brady. And it sounds simple enough to do, but you got to have a bunch of horses up front to do it, or you got to be a brilliant blitzer to be able to do it.
Seth, I do remember one of our first conversations with you, and that was when Houston was kind of stuck in this whole legal process with Deshaun Watson, and he was still a Texan, he was suspended. Now that we're at the other end of this, this couldn't have gone any better, right, for the Texans, other than the length that this took. And we do have some Browns fans in our area here in Western New York, as you know. What would you say to those Browns fans? Is that's a good team, but I'm not completely sold on Deshaun Watson.
It's a really good roster. They should be. We played the Browns last year when they were on that run with Joe Flacco. And the first time the Browns played the Texans, they destroyed the Texans. And you got into the playoffs, and some of Joe Flacco's tendencies turned up. Mm-hmm. I think that, I would tell you thank you if I were talking to the Browns themselves. But that risk that you take on a guy that really, honestly, he had come into his own in that 2020 COVID season, Deshaun played really, really well, and he was running the Bill O'Brien offense, which is, basically just Bill O'Brien's offense was basically trying to get guys like Brian Hoyer to play like Tom Brady. And it's a lot, just go up to the line and call the right play, and then, dial up a perfect pass to the right guy. But Deshaun had really figured it out, and it kind of clicked for him in 2020. Meanwhile, Bill O'Brien got fired, more because he was a bad GM than he was a bad coach. Even without Bill O'Brien there, Deshaun was really clicking. I don't know what to make of Deshaun, because he's just been such a hodgepodge and he's been so injured. And I see him do things on the field that we never saw him do, even when he was a young player. I mean, there's that play. I was just going over some D'Nico Autry plays. He's a defensive lineman that the Texans signed. And there was a play last year where D'Nico Autry, playing for the Titans, was tackling Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun turned around and threw a pass, not a fumble, not all that, like threw a forward pass directly backwards, trying to get to the running back. And it was a fumble. The running back managed to get a hold of it, but he's just done so many curious things like that. I would just say you gotta hope for the best and hope that the old Deshaun emerges and that he really does latch on to that system that they run, where there was Stefanski. I'd always wondered how Deshaun would do in that Gary Kubiak / Kyle Shanahan style system, because I think there's a lot of parts to it that would make Deshaun really lethal. He's just got to be able to execute it.
Hey, Seth, while we're having a broader conversation on the AFC, I mean, it is the downtime, but there'll still be some free agent signings. And I know a lot of teams have their kind of idea of what their roster is going to look like when they get through training camp. But I think the T. Higgins story in Cincinnati is an interesting one, and hearing that he signed his franchise tender over the course of the weekend. How do you think this all plays out? Is there a benefit there for Higgins to sign it before July 15th, or did he just give away any leverage that he may have had going into training camp in terms of his ability to hold out?
I always go back to, he might just be going that same route that Kirk Cousins did, which was the team sometimes wants to have that grace period to be able to get their ducks in a row, or to maybe make the player be uncomfortable. And if a player is willing to say, like, yep, I'm going to go play on the franchise tag, and put it down one more year down the line, it really all becomes an individual decision. I know, like, some players are very wrapped up in wanting to be the highest paid player. Sometimes they'll sign a deal that doesn't even have that much guaranteed money, but they just want to have that to be able to put on the sticker that they're the highest paid player. It might come down to just how T. Higgins is wired, and he understands it's a boatload of money, and just, okay, I'll play for this year, and if not, we'll do it, we'll do it again next year if I don't get a new deal. Some guys just want the simplicity of that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Seth Payne, our guest here, Victor native, now doing sports radio in Houston. Seth, what about the Buffalo Bills? This is a team that hasn't figured it out how to get past Kansas City. And now you look at the roster, and look, we're saying on our show that roster certainly isn't as good as it was last year on paper. A lot of things can change. So your observations on what you see in Buffalo entering 2024.
I've paid more attention to Buffalo than I usually do since this offseason since I was a kid and I was a Bills fan. But obviously because of the Stephon Diggs situation, I've watched the Brandon Bean press conferences. I've watched Josh Allen. I watched a lot of the film from last year after the Joe Brady change was made. And, after the debacle in the Denver game and everything else, mm-hmm. I think that Josh Allen made a lot of strides last year in becoming a true NFL quarterback when it comes to how he operates, distributing the football, understanding and reading the defenses, all those things. And it wasn't always seamless. It wasn't always smooth, but in a lot of respects, they were a better offense after Joe Brady took over. I don't think you can really make a change like that until you have a full offseason to digest everything and for Joe Brady to really install everything that he wants to do, get all the terminology down, everything like that. And I think that Josh Allen's going to take a big leap forward this year. And I'm saying that about a guy that's already been one of the very best quarterbacks in the league. But I think they're, you know, the source of frustration sometimes for Stephon Diggs last year, not that this excuses some of his outbursts or anything, but I think there were times as Josh Allen is figuring out how to distribute the ball better, there were times where Stephon Diggs was the read, but Josh Allen and, you know, Josh Allen used to stick on Stephon Diggs for way too long. He learned that he has to move on from it, and there were times I think Stephon Diggs may have gotten frustrated because of that or because he was just being used and on so many of those short and intermediate routes, but I think it made Josh Allen a better quarterback. And, you know, sometimes there is that addition by subtraction if you take away the security blanket for a player. We saw that with Deshaun Watson. As bad as that DeAndre Hopkins trade was for the Texans, as dumb as it was and, like, how pathetic the return was, there were elements to Deshaun's game that improved the next year because he just flat out could not lean so heavily on DeAndre Hopkins. So, like, Josh has a lot more experience and has achieved and performed at a higher level than Deshaun Watson had at that point. So, I mean, look, you look at the Bills roster right now, and I know that Brandon Bean likes to call it. He's not calling it a reset year. It's a transition year. Whatever you're doing where you're moving on from some of the older, more expensive guys into the younger guys, it's the reason the Bills are that 10.5 wins on the win total right now is because Josh Allen is so good. And I think because there's a certain expectation that Sean McDermott's going to put a respectable, at the very least, defense out there, even with some of the losses. So I'm still bullish on the Bills. And look, frankly, as a Texans fan or a former Texans player, my memory of the last time I saw my team take the field was that they just got absolutely destroyed by the Ravens. The Bills and the Ravens are the two teams that could put up a fight against the Chiefs last year at the end of the season. And you know, things change from one season to the next, but you can't discount that.
Seth, there is another element to the Diggs trade to Houston that I want to get your perspective on because you have a unique perspective. You're a guy that's been in an NFL locker room for, you know, your entire career. You're around guys, this notion of guys being alphas. And we knew that when Steph Diggs was here, he was clearly an alpha, almost to the detriment of Josh Allen. And now that juice, is Josh Allen's words, Steph brought juice to the locker room, a leadership that was unduplicated. With that gone, there's an opportunity there, or it would appear that there's an opportunity there for Josh to kind of assume that alpha role, to bring that juice. How important is that in an NFL locker room? And just from what you witness or what you see of Josh Allen and his demeanor, do you think he has that in him?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. Boy, you know, situations just matter so much, like in life and in sports. Like, there are things when you start talking about the chemistry of the team that a guy's personality can change if he's put into a different situation. And the situation's different for Josh Allen this year in that, you know, he had a little bit of a little brother, big brother relationship with Stephon Diggs. And I could totally see, especially if, you know, from the outside looking in, if sometimes that big brother is almost being like the authoritative bigger brother over the little brother, and you're still a young quarterback, that perhaps, yeah, that can maybe hold you back a little bit. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but, you know, perception is reality in a lot of regards. And some of the social media stuff or some of the sideline outbursts, Stephon Diggs might not think it's a big deal, but that's stuff that everybody sees and everybody's watching, and it affects people, whether they understand it consciously or not. And I think sometimes, yeah, like moving on and having Josh be entirely in charge, I would go back to Eli Manning, really. You know, when Eli Manning, when the Giants let go of or moved on from Jeremy Shockey, I think that was probably good for Eli Manning. And, you know, Eli, I think Josh Allen has more of a alpha personality, or however you want to frame it, than Eli Manning does, perhaps. But I think sometimes removing that guy, even if they've got a good relationship, but if that guy is kind of perceived as the older brother, and especially if he can be, you know, demanding of the ball, I think that can help a lot for a quarterback.
Seth, before we let you go, who is this team that is 6 games below 500 in the AL West right now? Although it is just the storyline, just too many injuries right now. Is there, with the new format in the majors, is there any hope there for your Astros to at least sneak in as the last wild card?
They'd have to go on a mega run. Just to get to 90 wins, they're going to have to play better than, you know, 60% wins. for the rest of the season. It's tough. The pitching injuries have been really bad, and that's with a roster full of starting pitchers that are guys that are they've kind of come on as younger guys, and you're not even 100% certain what they are yet. They've underperformances offensively. Jose Abreu turned into Jose Abreu went from being still pretty dang respectable the year before he got here in 2023 to just he fell off a cliff. He's just one of the worst players in baseball, and they cut him on Friday. So it's not like he was the only reason they were losing, but he was just a huge drain in the lineup and not very good defensively at first base. They're going to have to go on a run, and they would need a few of their guys who have been in MVP conversations before to be playing like MVPs. So I'm about as pessimistic as I've been a long time about that baseball team.
Seth, it is great having you on with us, man. I appreciate you making some time for us. Look us up if you come home at all, and hopefully we get the chance to do it again real soon, man. Enjoy your week.
Yeah, I'm jealous you guys having training camp at St. John Fisher. I miss August up there as opposed to August in Houston, so have fun.
Well, you could broadcast remotely. I mean, we lend you a studio here if that's an issue.
Oh, maybe I have.
We're all in the family, Seth. We're all in the family. On that free-to-download Odyssey app that we'll be listening for you on. Sports.
Am I going to screw you up if I tell a 1 minute story?
No, of course not.
Okay. I used to work on my family's farm in the summer. That's work that sucks. It always made me appreciate football more. But when I was in college, I would always take a couple of days off just to go watch the Bills at Fredonia. They were still at Fredonia at the time. Just to kind of watch from the stands and see how these guys operated and how they worked and everything. And I was honestly kind of jealous of the young guys in Rochester once the camp got moved to St. John Fisher, because it really is. If you're a high school football player, a college football player, it's so motivational and it's so instructive. If you can just go out there and just watch those guys and how they work, how they operate, their technique, all that. It's really cool that Rochester has that.
Yeah. And Seth, what a different era too. You could just Fredonia, just pull right up and didn't need a ticket, just walk right up. No problem watching.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, yeah.
Well, Seth, you've got an open invite. You can join us here anytime in the sports bar. You know that, man. We're your hometown station, and we wish you nothing but success there at 610, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. We'll be listening for you in the Odyssey app. Hope we get the chance to do it again soon, bud.
All right, awesome. Thanks, team.
You got it. That's Seth Payne. You can hear him, Payne and Pendergrast, on Sports Radio 610 in Houston. In the free-to-download Odyssey app.
I just think it's funny that there's another one. Reset the clock there. He called you Gene at the end.
Did he call me Gene?
He did.
Oh, I thought he said guys or dude. Did he say dude?
Roll the tape. Roll it back.
Did he call you Gene? Yeah, we'll roll the tape. All right, that's fine. Love Seth Payne. That every time we've had that guy on, he just brings it. Like, no question, that guy, he knows his Houston sports, knows what's going on with that team.
How he answered the question, like that was always puzzling to me. Like, why did they rip up the contract and say, "Nope, Steph, you're in the last year of his deal," just to avert any risk that he could be a malcontent about the front-loaded contract or back-loaded contract?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ball out for us this year, and next year you want to stay here, we'll take care of you, or you'll go somewhere else and you'll be taken care of. When we talked last week to Ty Dunn, I think he laid it out exactly the way we all envisioned it. Like, if you're Steph Diggs, maybe you asked for that trade before the season started. Maybe that led to you being dismissed from day one of mandatory minicamp. Maybe the middle of the season comes around and you see, oh, we've got a new offensive coordinator and he wants to run the football more. And oh, by the way, the running back's last name is Cook. Where have I seen this movie before? This is Minnesota all over again with a defensive-minded head coach who thinks he knows offense. And he wanted out. And he got his wish. Greener pastures. And I have a feeling in Houston, it might not run through him, but it's going to be more pass-centric than certainly what the Bills want to do.
Right. Where would he get more targets? I can't say for certain it would be Buffalo.
Not based on what you saw at the back end of last season.
And it's not a bad thing. It really isn't. if the Bills become this more balanced sort of attack, because what they were doing before wasn't getting you the result you needed. You need to develop an offense and a defense, for that matter, that's going to beat Kansas City. And the way you kind of do that maybe is a little bit more ball control.
Dallas. You need to play like Dallas. That's the Bills team I think we all want to see week in and week out. The consistency of that Dallas game.
Just maul them.
Just maul them. Now, part of that was Dallas not showing up, right? But that was a game that we remember on the schedule. We had it circled like, well, that's going to be a tough one. No, it wasn't a tough one. They absolutely mauled them. And if you can play, if you can see the Bills play like that consistently, going to be hard for any team to step up and punch them back in the mouth. So maybe it is that physicality that was lacking during the Diggs era that they're going to try and reinstill here with Joe Brady's new offense. Love that conversation with Seth Payne. That was fantastic. And we'll get that up and on demand for you shortly here in the free-to-download Odyssey app. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Search out the Sports Bar. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Don't forget, we've also got our YouTube channel for you to check out. We're streaming on Twitch. You can watch the Sports Bar there, and we're always sounding our best in the free-to-download Odyssey app. Happy Hour is next in the Sports Bar. We've got a Game 5 in the NBA Finals. We've got a U.S. Open to discuss that is a memorable U.S. Open, one for the ages.
And we got a Bills training camp schedule, too.
And we've got a Bills training camp schedule. We'll get to all of that and more, along with your calls at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!